Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ballesteros rolls over on one. It stays fair. And that'll do it. The best team in baseball during the regular season. The Brewers with a barrage in game one. One of the largest postseason wins in franchise history. And the Brewers lead this series one game to none.
That was the scene as the Brewers take game one of the divisional series with the Cubs. 9 to noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll take a look at the NFL slate of games coming up here at about 10:45, but joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. You can catch him on the newly expanded First Things First. Airs locally from 4 until 5 on Fox Sports 1. Pleasure to welcome in Danny Parkins. Danny, how are you this morning, my man?
Rami, good to talk to you, buddy. How have you been?
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Now, Danny obviously spent a good long while at the Score down in Chicago, Chicago native. How are you feeling after that Game 1 loss to the Brewers about this series, Danny?
Oh, I feel great. Thanks for asking.
It's just one game. We flush it, right? It's just one game.
I mean, my God. I mean, now I know why Kuhn's the only one with his name in the show. What a stupid question. How are you feeling? I don't know. My goldfish died when I was 8. You want to talk about that, too? Like, let's play talk about some trauma from my past. Like, oh, the Cubs are up 1-0. Wow, leadoff home run. Then the Brewers get, like, 19 consecutive doubles, and they're up 6-1 before I've even had my second beer. Like, it's just, I mean, what a stupid question. Like, my God.
Well, Danny, I'm glad you brought it up, man. A really hot take out of you. And listen, Rami, yeah, not only asks dumb questions, sometimes he says dumb things, too. He said tonight's winner between the Cubs Brewers is ultimately going to be the winner of the series. Do you feel the same way? Or are you that confident as well?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm confident that if the Brewers win tonight's game, that they will win the series. I think it's if you go up 2-0 in a best of five, I think you win like 9 out of 10. I think it's 89% is the data on that. And if the Cubs win, that will be great. But the Cubs have they used an opener in game two of the wild card series. Like, that's not good. Justin Steele, was hurt early in the year, and then Cade Horton was hurt basically right before the postseason began. But then they ran back Boyd on just a couple days rest. So, they have a very, very difficult situation for Counsell and Jed Hoyer to manage in terms of their arm shortage and guys that they can really trust. And the Brewers, as annoying as this is to me, are an excellent team and an excellent organization. I don't really understand how they do it, but they do. So, listen, if the Cubs win tonight, will I feel like the series is over in the Cubs' favor? No. But if the Brewers do, it will feel fairly inevitable.
I'm not putting it in the books by any means, Danny. I look at the series and I think that if the Cubs can get one tonight, Shota's been shaky lately, so it's very much up in the air if they can get tonight. But I feel really good when Jameson Taillon takes the mound lately. So if they get this one tonight, I'm pretty confident they'll be up 2-1 after game three. And then you just got to win one of the next two. And one of those is at Wrigley Field, where the Cubs have played very well. That's my thinking. On the flip side, obviously, the Brewers win tonight, go up 2-0. And you just laid out the data on what happens when a team goes up 2-0. That's why I say whoever wins tonight, I feel like is going to end up winning this series.
Yeah, it's totally reasonable, but breaking news. Whoever wins playoff games, it's a big win. It's a big game tonight. And, you know, and so the thing, too, about the baseball playoffs, man, it's such a crapshoot.
Yep.
Like, the Brewers have been the best team in baseball this year, and they could easily lose because that's just how baseball works. It's not the NBA. So, you know, I think that the prediction business that we are all in to some degree, and if you gamble, you're in it more often, more than others. Like, sure, the Brewers in this game, it's a swing moment, sliding door moment, whatever you want to call it. But the reality is that it's a complete and total crapshoot.
Well, Danny, it is a complete and total crapshoot, but sometimes we like to project that crapshoot. And tonight, Aaron Ashby going against the Cubs here to start this thing off, maybe an inning, maybe three, maybe four. We're trying to speculate. How do you think this thing plays out in this ballgame?
I don't want to cop out on the answer, but, like, it's so damn hard. The Blue Jays-Yankees game, I got that on one of the screens yesterday while I'm watching all the NFL. And the kid for the Blue Jays has 11 strikeouts, 78 pitches, and is throwing a no-hitter in the sixth inning. And they pull him. And then the Blue Jays bullpen gives up 10 hits and 7 runs, and, like, the game just turns on a dime. Now, obviously, the Blue Jays won. They had more than enough offense to cover it. But it's an impossible thing to predict. Like, clearly these managers and the data shows they don't want to give pitchers, you know, a third time through the order. So no one's going deep into these games. The first sign of trouble, it seems like the second time through the order, guys get pulled. It doesn't matter if you've got a no-hitter against the Yankees or you're Dylan Cease against the Cubs, you know, in the wild card round. So what these analytically inclined front offices are doing with pulling pitchers and playing the data and playing the numbers is a very, very tough thing to predict, other than I would bet on there being a lot of pitchers used in this game for both teams.
I may be projecting here, Danny, but I kind of feel like you think about analytics the way I do. I don't think you like it too much.
Oh, I mean, listen, I think I was not a good athlete like you were, so the only way that I could be involved in sports was to understand the stats and the analytics. But I do think that in baseball, it's gotten a little ridiculous. And even if the smart people that run these teams will show you the data, there's no denying that it's made it a worse product for fans. Mm. Like, it's really, really bad for fans that a pitcher could get pulled with a no-hitter in the playoffs against the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, that's just dumb. Like, from a watchability standpoint. Now, maybe it's really smart we saved him with 78 pitches so he can come back a day earlier so he can pitch again if the series gets extended. And, like, that's obviously the team's goal, to win a World Series and to win as many games as possible. But from an entertainment standpoint, it's impossible to argue that that makes the game more entertaining.
Listen, I am so excited to have you on with us today, and it's great to talk to you for the first time, because I've really hated analytics in baseball because I said – we're never going to find out how good a player could be again. We're never going to get a Nolan Ryan out there pumping 120 pitches every time he hits the mound, you know, striking 100 guys out. Like, we're never going to get to see it because we're never going to test the boundary again.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the flip side is that we get a Shohei Ohtani, which hopefully is going to expand people's minds into what the human body can do. And, yeah, the truth is that every team has 2, 3, 4 relief pitchers who throw 99 or 100 or 101 miles an hour. And so, like, they're probably right that a pitcher who is a little bit fatigued, not getting an opportunity to face a lineup for a third time, is probably the relief pitcher throwing 100 who can go all out and empty the tank for, you know, 20 pitches, is probably slightly more likely to retire those outs. And that's what the team should do. They're not beholden to entertainment, but you and I talking on the radio can be like, God, it's dumb that a guy was pulled with a no-hitter in a playoff game. It's just dumb.
Talking with Danny Parkins. First things first, you can catch him 4 to 5 locally on Fox Sports 1 along with Nick Wright. Danny, when the council hire was made and you were on our sister station, The Score, down in Chicago at the time, I believe you made the prediction that at the end of his 5-year, $40 million contract or whatever it was that he got, that the Cubs would have the most wins in the division. We're 2 years into that. You standing by that prediction, or are you wavering a little bit on that given what you've seen from the Brewers here in these 2 years?
I'll stand by the prediction. Here's how I want you to think of me, Rami. I want you to think of me in the Titanic as the guy who goes down with the ship.
You're playing the violin? You're playing the violin while this thing goes down?
I'm not very musically inclined, but I would have been happy to play the cello or the violin or be the captain who closes the door and just, like, nobly goes down with the ship. I'm not Billy Zane's, like, I have a child, and then, like, please, I'm all she has in the world, and then, like, escaping. Like that's not me. And so I'm going down with the Craig Council Chicago Cubs ship. Obviously, that take has aged like of an avocado since I shared it, but there are still many years to come, and I will, you know, try to be right, even though it's looking like I'm going to be very wrong.
There are people who question the move when it was made. There are people who have taken issue with the way Craig Council has managed this team since the move was made. Do you think this series and beating the Brewers is almost a trial or a referendum for anybody who's either critical of or on the fence about Craig Council down there in Chicago?
I think that is largely very overstated. I think it's great for sports talk radio, and I think it's great for Twitter. Craig is very, very smart. He is a very, very good manager. Brewers, I apologize. That's New York City in the background. This would not be so great for the rivalry if Brewers fans weren't pissed that Council came to the Cubs. Like, Brewers fans know Council's a good manager. That's why you're upset that he left. You might be happy with Pat Murphy. You might be thrilled with how it's gone. But the reason why it hurts so much initially is because you all know that he's awesome at his job. And I think smart Cubs fans also know that he's awesome at his job. And to the Brewers' credit, they've done an amazing job not making it feel like much of a loss for Milwaukee's side. But I still feel like it's been a win on the Cubs side. And he is a big boy who's getting paid $8 million a year. He can handle the second guessing or the first guessing of starting Matthew Boyd on 3 days rest. He'll be just fine.
All right, Danny, I want to pivot to the NFL here. What do we know in this wacky first 5 weeks of an NFL season? I mean, two undefeateds go down yesterday. Don't really look like they should have been undefeated with the performances in yesterday's game. You got the Kansas City Chiefs reeling a little bit, but then steady in the waters. And now, you know, it looks like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could be the best team in the NFC, and the Colts are leading their division. What in the heck do we actually know about this NFL 2025?
Yeah, not much, other than it's the greatest product in the world, and it's so much fun to bet on, and that it's the ultimate television product, and it's such a week-to-week league. I mean, the Packers look like world beaters and curb-stomped the Lions in week one, and then since the last couple of weeks, like, wait, the Packers allowed 40 points to the Cowboys with two of their starting offensive linemen out and no CeeDee Lamb, and they lost to Green Bay? What? Like, Atlanta gets shut out by Carolina, 30-0. Most shocking result of any game this season. Like, Atlanta thinks it's a good offense. Carolina, worst defense in the NFL last year. They get shut out 30-0. Next week, score 40-plus on Washington, who just beat the Chargers, who had beaten the Chiefs. Like, it's an impossible league to handicap week to week to week, which is what makes it amazing. I think the Lions are very, very good. I think the Chiefs are very, very good and only going to get better when Rashee Rice comes back, because I think Xavier Worthy is a stud. I think the Eagles situation is very weird with Kevin Petullo, their offensive coordinator, and not being able to move the ball despite all of their offensive talent. And, you know, it's a huge middle class, and I think some teams at the bottom are atrocious. Like the Titans, that weird win yesterday notwithstanding, I think are really bad. The Jets are really bad. And, you know, that's the NFL. There's like, are you lucky? Are you healthy? If you are lucky and healthy, you can win 10 games. If you are unlucky and unhealthy, you will win 6 or 7 games. And that probably describes 22 teams in the NFL.
How would you stack up the NFC North right now? Given what you just said, the Lions look unbeatable the last 4 weeks, but the Packers beat them in week one. You got the Vikings still finding ways to win no matter who's at quarterback. You got the Bears showing a little life and Caleb Williams showing a little life here in the last couple weeks. How do you stack up the NFC North?
Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings is how I would handicap it right now today. I think the Lions are still clearly the class of the division. I think the Bears are improving but have some serious flaws. Like, they cannot stop the run, and I don't think there's a fix coming for that this year. And they've got some serious problems at tackle on the offensive line. And, you know, Darnell Wright getting healthy maybe helps that a little bit on the right side, and we'll see about guys developing on the left side. But, you know, the Bears have some flaws that cannot be fixed. The Vikings have a quarterback situation for the first time in many, many, many years. So, you know, I think that they are the team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That I would trust the least right now. And the Packers, their ceiling looks like a Super Bowl team, but I know this won't be popular with you guys. Like, Jordan Love, until proven otherwise, feels like he is just good enough to get you beat. Because he will look like an MVP and have a 21 touchdown, one interception, 9-game stretch, and then he will immediately follow it up with 14 touchdowns and 12 interceptions in his next 9 games. Or he'll score 48 against Dallas in the playoff game, and then he'll throw 3 interceptions in the next game. So Jordan Love is very talented. He is very streaky. He is much better than Packers fans deserve after Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Like, he absolutely deserved 15 years of Mitch Trubisky's. But, you know, congratulations on all of your horseshoe up your ass success. And, you know, we'll see if you guys get lucky for a few game stretch. But my guess is he's just good enough to throw a back-breaking interception wildcard weekend.
All right. Since you bring it up, the horseshoe up the behind, did the Bears get a horseshoe up their behind with Caleb Williams? Are you convinced yet?
Yeah. I mean, listen, Caleb's eye test talent is undeniable. Like, will he harness it all? I don't know. That's what Ben Johnson's getting paid $10 million a year to do. How quickly will it happen? I have no idea. But to me, he looks like the type of talent that, if he harnesses it, can be like the guy that you had. He looks like he can be like Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers, for a while, I said, was the most talented player I'd ever seen play the position. When he had that 45 touchdown, 6 interception year, I was like, no one has ever played the position better than that guy, because he was not turning the ball over, but he wasn't being conservative. Like, he was throwing the ball down the field, and he was just an assassin. And Caleb has that in him. Like, he doesn't throw interceptions. He's always looking for a big play. He's crazy athletic, and he can make off-schedule throws. Like, he can make miracles when plays break down. But the on-time stuff, the in-rhythm stuff, that's what Ben Johnson is trying to really harness, which has been better the last couple of weeks than it was the first couple of weeks. So, yes, I think Caleb Williams will be the best. I think he already is, frankly, the best quarterback in the history of the Bears, but that'll be a majority consensus opinion before too long. He'll be their first 4,000-yard passer. He'll be their first 30-touchdown passer. He will sign a second contract with the Bears. He will play, like, 20 career games against Jordan Love. Like, they're going to battle it out for a long, long time. And does he ultimately become an MVP and a Super Bowl champion? I think he's got it in him, but time will tell.
Based on those predictions, I assume you're feeling pretty good about the Ben Johnson experience so far through 4 weeks?
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, I thought he had a really rough opener, and I think it's gotten better since. And I think that he's refreshingly accountable for himself and holding his players accountable. Like, he clearly has coached them hard. He clearly is not their best friend, but he clearly has their respect. And I think Caleb Williams week one of this year looked like it may as well have been week 19 of last year. Like, yeah. It was just like an extension of what I had seen. But then by week four, I was like, oh my God, this guy is completely different. And that to me is a testament of coaching. And normally I'm not a big fan of having the bye so early in the season because you kind of want, you know, to be fresher for a playoff run or injuries pile up as the year goes on, that sort of thing. But I think with a new coach whose system is so different, I think an early bye is actually really, really beneficial for the Bears. And I cannot wait. If like last night was Drake May's coming out party on a national level with what he did on Sunday Night Football, you know, a week from today, Caleb against Jaden, Monday Night Football, with the Bears coming off of a bye week, I am like 11 out of 10 level excited for that game and the statement that he can make.
Speaking of accountability, he also holds sideline reporters accountable. Your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, you know, but that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, listen, that moment on like the offensiveness scale is like a 1.1 out of 10. Like, it barely even registers. But I do think, like, optically, when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's a little cringeworthy. Like, him, like, kind of towering over and being, like, a little, like, almost like he was trying to, like, physically intimidate or, you know, stare through this smaller female sideline reporter. Like, it was not optically the best look. I don't think it was a huge deal. But I didn't think and then he saw it, and he was probably like, ugh, I don't like how I came off there. And you know what? Offensive coordinators don't do halftime interviews. Head coaches do. And he's a new head coach. And he was like, I messed up. I should have been a little bit better. And I'm going to be going forward. So, you know, I did not think that was a huge deal. I think that's more of an internet story than a real story. But regardless, Ben Johnson, he could have easily said, I don't like the question. Or he could have said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm focused on the Commanders and the bye week. And he took accountability for it, which I thought was a good move.
That's Danny Parkins. Catch him from 4 to 5 Central Time on part of the newly expanded First Things First on Fox Sports 1. Follow him on Twitter, at Danny Parkins. Parkins, really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know that, Ronnie. Anything for you, buddy.
Appreciate you. There's Danny Parkins. He joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll take a whip around the NFL, see what went down on a jam-packed Sunday. That's next. It's 9 to noon, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.